want to welcome each one to our service this morning. It's a beautiful morning, midsummer morning. It's good to have visitors with us. We hope that you will stay and give us an opportunity to visit with you a little and get to know you. And also want to let you know that if there's any information or anything about the church that you would care to learn more about, please certainly ask one of our elders, ask myself, and we'll be more than happy to share information with you. I'd like to ask you, if you would, to turn to Galatians chapter 2. In just a few moments, we're going to be looking at just one verse, and that's the 20th verse. Some years ago, I joined a friend of mine who was an elder in the church and conducting a Bible study with a business associate of his. The man was a self-made man. He had grown up poor. He was not formally educated, but he had a dynamic work ethic and a mind for business. He started as a teenager working in restaurants, and by his early 20s, he found a few people who would fund him so that he could buy into a franchise. Within 5 years, he sold that franchise for five times what he had bought it, paid off his investors, and started his own restaurant. Over the next 20 years, he spent franchising that restaurant, and then eventually he sold his restaurant to a national chain. He was probably about 50 years old when I first met him, and independently wealthy. He now spent all of his time managing and growing his fortune. Well, we got with him for once a week for months, and together we studied the Gospel of John, and it thoroughly persuaded him. He truly believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But that faith was turning his life upside down. He knew what he needed to do in order to be saved, but he insisted, "There's no reason for me to be baptized unless I can live the Christian life." He said, "The more I learn about Jesus and the more I learn from Jesus, I realize that my life, the way I have been living, is totally wrong. I have had wrong goals. My values have been the wrong values. The way I have mistreated and used people is wrong. I want to obey the gospel, but I know that I'll have to change. I want to change, but I'm not sure that I can. What should I do?" Well, my friend, who also was a self-made businessman, who had also started out with nothing and worked his way to the top, said to him, "Just do it." He said, "Well, I'm not sure I can." To which my friend replied, "Jesus will help you." Our text this morning was written by a man who did it. Paul was an achiever. At first, he worked very hard in accomplishing all the wrong goals. But when he heard the message of Jesus, he asked, "What would you have me to do?" Well, Jesus said, "Arise and go into the city of Damascus, and there it will be told you what you must do." And when Ananias came to him in Damascus, he told him what he must do. He said, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And when Paul was told what to do, he just did it. But that was just the beginning. When he came to know Jesus, he said, "Well, that's what I want to be." He went on to live that dynamic, victorious Christian life. In our text this morning, in just one verse, he tells us how he was able and how God was able to make him what he needed to be. By taking this message to heart, I think that we can see how we, through Jesus Christ, can do it too. This morning, I want to summarize Paul's words into four positive statements that can show us how we can successfully live for Jesus. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The first thing that Paul said that made it possible for him to live this victorious Christian life was, "I have been crucified with Christ." No, Paul had not been physically put to death for following Jesus, although ultimately he would. But he is speaking in a spiritual sense. Jesus, of course, after speaking of his own death from the cross, said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. No, we can't look back in time and go back in time and join Jesus on the cross, but we are united with him in his death when we are baptized. Or as Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You know, we often refer to baptism as the beginning of a new life, and it is. We are born again. But before a new life can begin, the old life has to end. And it will not end until it is put to death. Paul said it this way, in Romans 6 and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, the person that we used to be, was crucified with him. Well, what does that mean, to be crucified with Christ? Well, being crucified with Christ means death to self. Jesus said, deny yourself. Paul said, it is no longer I who live. Someone has said that selfishness is the base sin of mankind, the sin from which all others flow. Unlike Jesus, who said to God, not my will, but thine be done, we say, not your will, but mine. Well, there's only room for one on the throne of our hearts. And if self is there, then there's no room for God. And so to be crucified with Christ means that we must be crucified to self. Being crucified with Christ means that we have been crucified to the flesh. Again, in Romans 6 and verse 6, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be the slaves of sin. Now, becoming a Christian certainly does not remove temptation. As long as we have a physical body, we will want to do fleshly things. But we are spiritual beings. We always have a choice. And with our effort and with God's help, we can overcome the flesh. Again, in Romans 6, verses 11 through 13, Paul continues to say, consider yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God. Do not let sin reign in your body by obeying your lust, but rather we are to use our bodies as instruments of righteousness. There'll never be a time in our lives when we have grown beyond being tempted, but we can determine not to let sin have dominion over us. We can crucify the flesh, but we must continue to keep it buried. Paul said of himself in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, but I discipline my body and bring it under subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. And so to be crucified with Christ means that we have crucified the flesh. Being crucified with Christ means that we have been crucified to the world. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul speaks of how the fact that all of us walked according to the course of this world. The problem with that is that we don't want to go where the world is going, because the world is walking after the prince of the power of the air down that broad way that leads to destruction. On the day of Pentecost, after preaching the gospel, Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I heard that translated one time, this generation that is going nowhere. I think Satan has his greatest success by taking our thoughts away from spiritual things and filling them with meaningless diversion. When I travel, I like to listen to the radio, and I find it more difficult. I choose from one format to another. There was a time where I was listening to ESPN Sports Radio all of the time, and I was on a trip, and I was listening to this endless discussion of a certain ball player. It was said of this ball player that he did this and he did that, and he said this and he said that, and what would his fellow players think about that? How would that affect his next performance? And I just turned the radio off. I thought to myself, what does any of this really matter? Just look at the focus of television. You know, you hear people talking about what is going on television, and they get very personally involved in it. Who's going to get kicked off of Dancing with the Stars this week? Well, I'm sorry, but what does it really matter? Because we've been crucified with Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, Paul said, "If you were raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer. Dead to the old life of folly and sin. Satan may call, the world may entreat me. There is no voice that answers within. Dead to the world, to voices that call me. Living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me. Yet is not I. Christ liveth in me. And so the first key to living a victorious Christian life, Paul said, is that we must be crucified with Christ. Secondly, Paul said, Christ lives in me. It's no longer I who live, Paul said, but Christ lives in me. Being crucified with Christ does not take away our life. It gives us life. John writes of Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Now, not all men understand that. Tragically, many men reject the Lord's offer of life. In John 3 and verse 19, Jesus said, "That's why man is condemned. This is condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Paul said, "Now that I've been crucified with Christ, he lives in me." How does Christ live in me? Well, I don't really know. I don't really have to know. My dad was an engineer. He had an insatiable desire to know how things worked. He could never understand how I could be content just knowing where to plug it in and how to turn it on. He thought you should understand how everything worked. Well, when he got older, he got into computers. And those early computers, you know, you basically had to write your own programming for them, and then he would get newer and better computers, and once that happened, he kept going back into the programming and getting everything all mixed up. Well, he had a younger engineering friend who would come over and get his computer straightened out, and I remember hearing him tell my dad, "Paul, the engineering has already been done. All you have to do is plug it in and turn it on." I don't know how Jesus lives in me, but I know where to get plugged in and where to power up. In John 14 and verse 23, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will be my disciples indeed. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and the Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." What an amazing statement that is. What an amazing promise that is. If we let Jesus teach us in his word, if we let the words of Christ dwell in us richly, the word of God is a living thing. It is the seed that produces within us the fruit of faith and understanding. When we obey God's command, it changes us. Jesus said, if we love him and keep his word or obey his commandments and live according to his teaching, God will love us, and we, Jesus said, will come in to him and make our home with him. Christ lives in me. But obedience is the key. In 2 John, in the 9th verse, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God, but he who abides in the teaching of Christ has both the Father and the Son." When we obey the gospel, when we are baptized into Christ, when we continue reading and obeying and living by his teaching, Christ gets into us. One of the wonderful blessings of having Christ living in us. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5, "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Isn't that so much better than it is before one is crucified with Christ. Isn't that so much better than the results of following after the lust of our flesh, which leads to things such as hatred, contention, jealousy, selfishness, dissension, envy, murder, outbursts of anger? Isn't it wonderful that when we are in Christ and when Christ is living in us, that the beauty of Jesus can and will be seen in me? And so the first key to living a victorious Christian life, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. The second is that Christ lives in me. Well, the third key in living a victorious life, Paul says, is living by faith. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The word faith implies trust. To live by faith is to put our lives into God's hand. It is to put our total faith, hope, and confidence in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. So we are always confident, Paul said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, what does it mean to live by faith? Well, living by faith is trusting Jesus for the truth. You know, our world is filled with the religions and teachings of men. How do we know where to turn? How do we know what to believe? Some time ago, I ran into a man who is not a Christian, but he told me, I'm not a Christian, but I am very spiritual. I hear that a lot anymore. I don't know exactly what that means. I guess it means I'm seeking. I'm seeking for answers. I'm seeking for spiritual guidance. This man was not a Christian, but he had read extensively in world religions. He had read the Quran a couple of times. He read all about Buddhism and read the Book of Mormon, read the Bible through two different times. And I asked him, well, what was your conclusion? He said, well, there's good in all of them. And so I asked him, do you believe that they are all true? And he said, no, they couldn't be. Well, he was certainly right about that. A woman asked me one time, why do you believe that of all religions, the Bible is the one that's true? I said to her, can you show me any evidence where it's not? There has never been anyone else like Jesus. Jesus told Pilate, I have come to bear witness to the truth. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. If we don't believe in the exclusiveness of salvation through Jesus Christ, then we don't believe in Jesus at all. If we don't believe that He and only He is the way to the Father, then we have rejected His claim to be who He is. What the Bible says about Jesus is the truth. What Jesus teaches is the truth. The promises that He made are the truth. The truth is the basis for all faith. Walking by faith means to trust in Jesus to tell the truth. Trusting in Jesus for the truth. Living by faith means trusting Jesus as our Savior. The only one who could save man from sin would be the one who had no sin. God put our sins on Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. 1 Peter 1 and verse 24, the author says, Who Himself bore our sins in His body, in His own body, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus shed His blood for the remission of our sins and shared the good news of the gospel, that if we repent and turn from our sins in faith, and we are obedient to His commandment to be baptized, our sins will be taken away. And then if we continue living by faith, it means that we'll walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, and the result of that will be we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will continually cleanse us from our sins. So living by faith is trusting Jesus as our Savior. Living by faith is trusting Jesus as our Lord. Since Jesus is God's Son and our Savior, then we should trust Him to show us how to live. As a matter of fact, since He is the way, there is no alternative. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say?" Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Living by faith means that when we in every situation do what Jesus says to do, it will be right. Solomon in Proverbs 3 and verse 5 said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." Living by faith is trusting Jesus to be with us, to protect, to provide, to comfort us in this life, and then to take us to be home to be with Him in eternity. How do we know? Because He has promised. Jesus' last promise as He left this earth was, "Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age." He has promised that He will provide His providential care. Romans 8 and verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Living by faith is trusting in Jesus. And why should we not trust Him? Why is it that we trust Him so? Paul said, "The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. For what reason would you ever doubt that you can trust Him? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, "Thus saith the Lord." Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that Thou art with me and will be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. So Paul makes three statements that describes how he was able to live a victorious Christian life, and how we can live a victorious Christian life. "I am crucified with Christ. Christ lives in me. And I am living by faith." One final thing that he tells us about triumphant Christian living is in the very next verse. He said, "I do not set aside the grace of God." In Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 10, Paul very clearly stated that we are saved by grace, but not by grace alone, grace through faith. James emphatically states that faith without works is dead. We cannot be saved by our works. But one who is truly saved will want to work. Paul did. In Romans 12 and verse 1, he admonishes us, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Paul, more than any other apostle, extolled the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 through 11, he said, "I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all." Now, the work that Paul did, the service that Paul rendered, were not things of which he could boast, but it was God's grace that gave Paul the ability to do these works. It was the Lord working through Paul. Paul said that His grace towards me was not in vain. And we must live in such a way that the grace that God has bestowed upon us is not in vain. So Jesus called Paul to follow Him. Jesus said that Paul would be His special vessel to take the gospel to the Gentile. "I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Paul asked, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And then he did it. How? He died to self. "I'm crucified with Christ." He was buried into Christ's death in baptism, and then he arose to walk in a new life. Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And it was all possible by the grace of God. Paul pointed out his own failings when he talked about the fact that because of his persecuting Christ, he was the chiefest of all sinners. But he said that in forgiving him and putting him into the ministry and using him in his service, that was a pattern to all of us. If Paul could do it, then I can too. If Paul could do it, then you can too. Don't you want to live a victorious Christian life? You can. Just do it. Through Jesus Christ, do it. Die to your sins through repentance. Be buried into his death in baptism, and then arise to walk in newness of life. Jesus will help you. He has promised to send his Spirit to dwell in you. Live by faith, walking in the light as he is in the light. Be faithful unto death, and you will go to heaven when this life is over. How do we know? Because he promised. Just do it by the grace of God and with the help of Jesus. Just do it. This morning, you may be here as one who's not yet a Christian. Something is preventing it. Something is standing in your way. What is it? Whatever it is, compare it to an eternal destiny in heaven or being separated from God in eternity in hell. Choose Christ. He'll help you. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of our Lord, we encourage you to come while together we stand and while we sing.